Real Life, the program that talks about the life of real estate in the Hamptons and the North Fork. The people, the places, and the things that are the pulse and heartbeat of life on the East End. And now, Associate Broker of Sotheby's International Realty, your host, John Christopher.
Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher. And today I have with me marital counsel and hypnotherapist, Anique Libby. Hi, Anique, how are you?
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, John.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. You know, you have such a fascinating background. You know, you had quite an extensive art background before you got into psychotherapy and hypnosis. So can you tell us, how did you segue out of art into psychotherapy? And just tell us a little bit about your art background, which I found very unique.
Well, I've always painted. I've taught painting at the Metropolitan Museum and at MoMA's Annex out here in Amagansett, the Victor D'Amico Art Barge. I do that every summer. I teach a watercolor class, and I've had solo shows and group shows in the area, but I've done many different things, including real estate, and I had a scuba diving company once. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're very, what's the word I'm looking for? Well-rounded.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that is great. Now, one of your specialties is EFT counseling and marital counseling. So what is EFT counseling, and how does that relate to bringing couples back together?
I'm so glad you asked. EFT stands for Emotionally Focused Couples Therapy or Relationship Therapy. It doesn't have to be a couple. It can be a single person. It can be a group of people. And it's emotionally focused, and I just want to give a cautionary note. It's not the other EFT kind of therapy, which is, of course, a very valid type of therapy, but it involves tapping on your head and cheekbones. It's not that EFT, which is actually more widely known. My EFT, emotionally focused therapy, started in Britain about 40 years ago and is less known here, but this is really important, John. It's the only form of couples therapy that is empirically validated for long-term results. The only one.
That's fascinating.
One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because on your website, I was reading some of the testimonials, and the people all, you know, rave about you, saying how it costs for psychotherapy, but it's much cheaper than going through a divorce. And so I think that's great that you have that capability to bring people together. And that leads me to another question. How do you get couples together? Because there are certain issues. You know, in other words, people fall in love, you know, at first sight, so to speak, and love is blind. But then after a period of time, it seems to lose its shine. You know, the relationship starts to tarnish a little bit. Can you give any hints to people or, you know, that would say, geez, you know, I've got to talk to Anique, you know, because she's onto something?
What a great question. So, one of the things that people really like about EFT therapy is that it takes all of the chaos of feelings of two people. You feel like you're in a jungle, and it's like having a machete with 10 different swipes, 10 different stages in EFT. You have a blueprint to get out of that jungle. And usually there's a pursuer-withdrawer dynamic, and it's very helpful for people to start seeing themselves on a negative cycle that's charted out. When the other person says or does this, I get triggered, but that triggering is unconscious or subconscious, so I can't speak from that place, which usually has to do with I'm hurt, I'm scared, I'm worried I'm going to be left. You know, it's usually a very soft feeling, but instead of speaking from there, we start thinking this person doesn't feel safe, and we say or do something which actually is 180 degrees opposite from that soft feeling that you're really feeling. It usually, for a pursuer, comes out as aggressive. It's not meant as aggressive, but it sounds aggressive because it triggers the other person, who is usually the withdrawer, more the withdrawer, and instead of talking from a softer place there, which usually looks something like, I feel pressure, I feel inadequate to meet your needs, I'm worried, despite my best, I feel I'm failing. Instead of talking from that place where one could really get heard, it goes up the loop on the other side of the infinity loop of negative cycle, and this person doesn't feel safe, it feels like they're aggressing me, and the withdrawer says or does something which is 180 degrees opposite from what they really feel like. I can't be in this relationship anymore, or you're always beating up on me, criticizing me, and that's not really what they feel. And that triggers the pursuer, and off to the races on that infinity loop of the negative cycle.
So it doesn't stop, it continues on until somebody says, okay, either we end this or let's seek counseling.
Yes, and when you seek my counsel, what happens is I help people talk from that softer place, and it's magical. I used to read novels and go to lots of movies. I really don't anymore, because in my office, within about half an hour, I usually have a couple who have barely spoken to each other nicely for 9 years, reaching over toward each other with tears in their eyes, saying, I missed you so much, honey, but I just was stuck. I didn't know how to connect.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That is incredible. It's got to be very moving for you in the process, you know, because you're bringing these two people that have been incommunicado for so many years, and all of a sudden, and it comes down to communication. And it sounds like to me that what you're saying is, you remember that book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus.
John Gray's book. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's like, it sounded to me like men are taught not to, if you show any vulnerability, you know, you're not a capable man. And, you know, to express that, to say, hey, honey, you know, yes, maybe I'm not, but by the same token, and so instead there's that bravado that comes out of a man, and then the woman takes it another way, and so there's not any dynamic that's happening between the two of them, and you come along.
You're so right. It's not always split down the gender lines quite so clearly, but you're absolutely right. I mean, usually the very thing that one thinks their partner needs is exactly the opposite of what the partner really needs.
I hate to cut you short because this sounds so fascinating, but how can somebody get in touch with you?
I'm on Psychology Today and under Anique Libby, and I also have a website called www.coupleconsciously.com, and my work number is 917-746-6437.
One more time on that number.
917-746-6437.
Fantastic. Anique, it's been a total delight having you on the program.
This is John Christopher for Real Life, and we'll be right back after this short break with our next guest, April Jakubauskas.
Support for 88.3 comes from Sotheby's International Realty, local experts worldwide. With over 100 international offices, Sotheby's has 4 Hamptons locations in Southampton, Bridgehampton, Easthampton, and Sag Harbor. Learn more at john.christopher@sotheby'shomes.com.
Hi, this is John Christopher, your host for Real Life, and today I have with me April Jakubauskas. And she's a tonsorial expert and mountain mover. Hi, April. How are you today?
Hi, John.
I was wondering, should we start off the program with a Lithuanian...
drinking song?
Drinking song.
Well, it is...
Because earlier, you were just...
They are drinking now in Lithuania.
That's true. That is true.
They are ahead.
I know. We're behind, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, I said you were a tonsorial expert.
Yes.
So how are you a tonsorial expert?
Well, I am an expert at barbering.
Mm.
I have a barbershop, Choppin' Charlie's.
Where's that located?
That's in Sag Harbor.
Oh, great. And you've been there for a while?
I have been in business with Choppin' Charlie's for 33 years.
But you look like you're 33.
I started right away.
Came out of the
immediately.
Womb.
Immediately.
Came out. And you had a pair of scissors.
My mom was singing the Lithuanian drinking song. I was cutting hair.
I love it. Now, we've talked about your tonsorial expertise before, but today I'd like to talk about multiple myeloma and your involvement in the Moving Mountains for Multiple Myeloma. I never heard of multiple myeloma. Am I pronouncing that correctly, by the way?
Multiple myeloma.
Yeah, and so what is it?
Multiple myeloma is a cancer that forms in a type of white blood cell called plasma cell, which cause cancer to form in the bone marrow. And unfortunately, it's an incurable cancer, but it is treated and can be treated.
And can be maintained. Right. So what does Moving Mountains for Multiple Myeloma, what is that?
Well, it's a collaboration between Cure Media Group and Takeda Oncology and the MMRF, which is Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. And it's to raise awareness and funds for myeloma research.
Now, and you're involved in that, right?
I am. There's patients, caregivers, doctors, nurses, and multiple myeloma loved ones that are participating in this event.
Now, what are you
event.
Doing? You're going to...
Mount Kilimanjaro.
Mount Kilimanjaro, which is, the highest freestanding mountain in the world?
Yes, it is. It's located in Tanzania, Africa.
What does it mean to be freestanding?
There are no other ranges attached to it. It's just all on its own.
So it's just this one humongous mountain?
Yes.
Wow. And you're going to tackle that?
I'm going to attempt it.
Attempt yes. that. Now what, now, what kind of preparation do you do for something like this, besides sing a couple
napping.
Of Lithuanian?
I do a lot of napping.
Napping, right.
Daydreaming about it.
Right.
Actually, I just came back from a training hike in Colorado, and I met the team members for the first time, and we climbed Mount Bearstadt, which is a little over 14,000 feet.
Is that the first time you've gone up a mountain like that?
Yes,
wow.
And I didn't think I was going to survive it when I was done.
Now, what do you do? How do you prepare? I mean, is there anything that you can do? Are you like on an exercise regime of some sort?
It's endurance. So you have to be in shape and have some sort of endurance to be able to hike for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours
straight.
A day.
Straight?
Yeah, straight.
Are you carrying any type of backpack?
Yes, I'll be carrying my backpack with water and whatever supplies I need for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have guides.
Right.
And, Sherpas. I know they're not called Sherpas in this particular region, but they'll be carrying our food and, tents, sleeping bags.
Now, when is this taking place?
February 1st.
So you've got a little time to get prepared for this.
I do, yes.
So are you going to... start climbing other mountains?
Like, I am. I'm going to do some hikes. Uh-huh. I'm practicing wearing my backpack with the weight that I'll be carrying.
Right.
So that'll help. And with my boots. And so you might see me around town, this crazy girl with a backpack, boots.
There's not many
eating
mountains,
an ice cream
we
cone.
We don't But we don't have many boots, mountains out here, do
no,
we?
No, we don't. So that's why I'm going to be... the odd right. person walking around with right. a backpack, boots, trekking poles, and an ice cream.
Which you probably won't get at Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, God, no.
No.
I don't know what we're going to have. We won't even have toilets.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going
to
happen.
Now, do they give you any preparation? Has there ever been any talks about, okay, here's what we have to look forward to, here's what you have to do? And
you know what? No.
No. So come February.
No, I was a little disappointed in that. I was waiting to hear, what are we supposed to be doing? Nobody knew. Nobody told me anything. I said, okay. The only thing I know is I'm going to be taking something called Diamox, which helps with altitude sickness, because I did get very sick in Colorado with the altitude.
So, I mean, this... what's it called again? This
Diamox.
Okay. And does it have any level altitude levels to
it? It's supposed to help you with the water that's in, we have the water in our ears and the inner ear thing and retaining water, getting rid of the water. I don't know. All I know is most of the team was on it. I didn't. I thought I'd go the natural way and just drink a ton of water.
Which didn't help. It did nothing. Right. So let me ask you another question. Are there any wildlife? Will you be seeing any wildlife? Because you're in Tanzania,
Yeah, we're going to be going through.
Not tigers, but lions and things like that?
I don't, you know, they're all in the preserves or the reserves.
So Kilimanjaro has, well, then.
I don't think I'll be seeing anything. It's going to be.
Let's hope not, right?
Yeah, we're actually going to go through like a 5 or 6 ecosystems. But it's going to be desert, a little rainforest, a little jungle. There's going to be a load of people up there. Apparently, it's a very popular time of the year to go because it's summer in that time. And there'll be there might be 20,000 people.
My goodness. That's amazing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So is it cold? I mean, even in the summertime?
We will have some levels that are cold. So we will have clothing to go with every temperature change.
Now, do you supply this clothing or is this being donated?
I am being sponsored by Takeda Pharmaceutical Company. They are sponsoring the whole team of 16, 6 of us being patients.
Right.
And the rest caregivers and doctors and nurses.
What is Takeda Oncology anyway?
It's a pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. They develop and deliver medicines to patients with cancer worldwide. And they're hoping to cure cancer at some point. But they are developing a lot of multiple myeloma medications because there actually 10 years ago there really weren't a lot.
And so
they
come into
treatments
the forefront.
Available.
Right.
And the lifespan was really reduced
prior to
10 years ago. Yeah, right. And this company happens to be developing some very important treatments for
excellent.
Patients. Yeah.
How can someone donate to this worthwhile cause, the Moving Mountains for Multiple Myeloma?
Well, my particular fund, you could go on support.themmrf.org/go-to/April J.
Fantastic. April, it's been a delight having you on the program. This is John Christopher for Real Life, and we'll be right back with my next guest, Ed Nealon of AC&E Home Inspections. Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher. And today I have with me Ed Nealon, who is the owner of AC&E Home Inspections. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Actually, Ed, I'm so happy you came on the program because you have such a very interesting background. You used to be an aerospace engineer. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. And so how does one segue from that to home inspections?
Well, it is kind of a stretch, but growing up my entire life, I worked with my stepdad. He managed an apartment complex, so I learned a lot about different aspects of buildings early. And, I was doing aerospace engineering for a while, and started getting a little burnt out with that and decided I wanted to go and open up my own company. And here I am 20 years later, and now I probably have the largest home inspection company here on Long Island. We currently have 16 engineers here on staff, and in total we've done over 100,000 home and engineering inspections.
That's amazing. I mean, you're almost like a one-stop shop. You know, in the sense that I know you offer, besides having that many engineers on staff, you offer a lot of other programs that many other home inspectors don't offer. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. I just was curious about, it wasn't until 2005 that New York State required home inspectors to be licensed. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it was probably a very good thing to try to straighten the industry out a little bit, having the industry become uniform and start some type of licensing program which I think was a good thing to try to help things out.
So somebody could say, I'm a home inspector and not have any background whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's so much to this job, and especially because I've been doing this for 21 years. You know, the classes now, it's like a two-week class and then 100 hours. With that, there is...
Now, when you say 100 hours, is that 100 hours in class or 100 hours?
No, it's 100 hours of they have to do of a hands-on, you know, type of program.
Okay.
But even with that, you know, there's so much in this business to actually know and to understand that you wouldn't even be scratching the surface with that. I mean, you can just imagine all the different heating systems that are out there and all the different electrical panels that are actually out there, all the different systems to understand and know. It's just an amazing amount of things that you really, really, truly have to know. Like here at AC&E, we only have engineers on staff. That's all we use is engineers.
So it's not just home inspectors. To be an engineer, you have to be...
it's 4 years of college.
College, right. Thank you.
That is correct.
Right.
And all the engineers here, I mean, they all have different backgrounds, you know, but I think just being an engineer, you know, establishes, you know, a certain level of education for them to start out with. And with that, you know, we can fine-tune, you know, what they know, you know, into home inspections. And we branch out into so many different things that we do. We just don't do home inspections. You know, it really, we branch out pretty much to anything that you need to close a loan today. You know, we do, whether it be mold inspections or soil testing or tank locating or... well water or thermal imaging or windstorms or structure inspections. You know, there's just so many different things that you need sometimes to close on a loan, and we just happen to be around for so long that, you know, we're constantly out there updating all the licenses for all the different things that you need.
Well, that's what I meant earlier about a one-stop shop. It used to be that, okay, you get a home inspector, but if you needed a pest inspection, you'd have to...
Well, and it's still like that with most companies. It's
right.
Just that, you know, what we do here is, you know, we go that extra mile, you know, to do to get the licensing that we need. Like, New York State finally got on the board of doing mold licensing this year.
I guess after, what was that, Sandy, right?
Sandy, because what happened was there were so many complaints of people who were out there doing mold cleanups after Sandy, that mold came back in so many homes that people were complaining to the state saying, look, you know, you got to get on board. We need something to, you know, so that everybody's doing the same thing. So they came out with mold licensing, both for the cleanup and for the inspection portion of it. So we were one of the first companies in New York State to get licensed. My actual number is 004.
Hmm.
You know, and it's another good step because there were so many people doing things so many different ways and a lot of it the wrong way that, you know, it was kind of good that New York State got on board with, you know, kind of like Florida, because Florida has a licensing for mold as well.
Right, exactly. Now, just curiosity, have you noticed any increase in soil testing being asked by certain attorneys when it comes to previously buried oil tanks? Even though there's a certificate of abandonment, I've noticed that.
Yeah, and what you're noticing is exactly that. A lot of attorneys, you know, and I still get phone calls all the time about this, and that's a really good question because a lot of people don't understand it. And some attorneys don't understand it, but some do. That certificate of abandonment that people give out is in Suffolk County is generated by the company itself. It's not generated by the state in any way, shape, or form. So let's say you had a leaking tank on your property.
Okay.
And you really didn't want anybody to find out or know. When you call up to get your tank abandoned, they only ask you a verbal question. Is the tank a leaking tank? And if you say, no, it's not a leaking tank, they say, okay, we'll abandon it. We can do sand, foam, or slurry. And they give you a certificate that says this tank's been legally abandoned according to the Suffolk County guidelines. Meanwhile, nobody did any form of either PID testing or sending the soil out to the lab for testing. So that piece of paper that you got is really only generated by the company that did the abandonment, and no soil testing was actually done. So a lot of these lawyers now are catching on that the paperwork really has no backbone to it, not like Nassau County, where Nassau County is all in-ground tanks are governed by the Department of Health. So the Department of Health is actually overseeing the abandonments in Nassau County, where it's not being done in Suffolk County.
Right, right. Now, another thing I find fascinating is that your company, you do inspections 7 days a week.
Well, we have 16 engineers. So.
Right, so you can work on the weekends, which I find very laudatory. I can't believe this, but I'm going to have you come back on the program again because there's some other things I wanted to talk to you about.
This is John Christopher for Real Life on Peconic Public Broadcasting, 88.3, right here in Southampton, New York. By the way, if you're interested in hearing this program again or previous ones, you can go to peconicpublicbroadcasting.org and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, looking forward to seeing you soon, and have a safe journey.
You have been listening to Real Life, the program that talks to the people, places, and things that are the pulse and heartbeat of real estate on the East End. Your host has been John Christopher, broker associate with Sotheby's International Realty. Your producer and engineer is Kyle Lynch. Theme music by John Christopher. Questions and comments can be emailed to john.christopher@sotheby'shomes.com. Real Life is also brought to you in part by LEAP Compliance, HR's one-stop solution for sexual harassment prevention training and policies. All employers in the New York State are now required to train all employees annually, no matter the size of the company. For more information, discriminationpreventiontraining.com or 646-216-8038.